This brings us back to the concept of a compound heterozygote. In the figure, you can see five different individuals, each with two chromosomes. The box represents a single locus. Individual number 5 has two different loci, a white locus and a black locus. The X in each of the boxes represents a mutation at that locus. As you know, an individual can be homozygous, individual number 4, or heterozygous at a particular locus. If the individual is heterozygous, do they carry the wild-type allele on one chromosome and a diseased allele on the other? If so, then we call them a heterozygote. That is the case with individual number 1. If the individual carries two different disease alleles, we call them a compound heterozygote. Those disease alleles can be on different chromosomes, in which case they are a compound heterozygote in trans, like individual number 2. If the individual carries two disease alleles on the same chromosome, then they are still a compound heterozygote, but now in cis. That's individual number 3. So why is this important? Well, the compound heterozygote in cis has a wild-type allele as well. That means that the individual will be able to produce a normal product from the wild-type allele, whereas the compound heterozygote in trans will not be able to produce a normal product. One other concept to distinguish. What is the difference between a compound heterozygote and a double heterozygote? A compound heterozygote considers only one locus, whereas a double heterozygote considers two loci. Individuals number 2 and number 3 have two disease variants at a single locus, and they are compound heterozygotes. Individual number 5 is a heterozygote for the white locus and a heterozygote for the black locus. If you consider both loci together, he is a double heterozygote.